Must be a good day. I got my mask off without ripping off the microphone. All right. Well, you might remember, in fact, I'm looking around the room, I think everybody does except our little one. You might remember an old show called Let's Make a Deal. I'm talking about the old one. Not the new one, which I wouldn't recommend watching. But that old show, back in the 60s, 70s, Let's Make a Deal, hosted by Monty Hall. And some people love that show so much, like me, at that time. I used to record it so that when I'd come back from work, I could watch the episodes. And so what we're going to do tonight is I'd like to launch from that and do a basic kind of concept of how that game show works. And I want to set the stage then with that concept for our study to help us, to help illustrate the point of the lesson tonight. Just imagine with me, if you will, that I have the power or the resources to offer you really, really great deals tonight. And so what we want to look at is my very first offer. My first offer to you is this. I will give each of you tonight $100,000 for the car that you drove here tonight. Pat's looking for his keys. I give you $100,000 for the car that you drove here tonight. And I doubt seriously if anybody's going to turn down the offer. We're imagining this is real now. Actually, I don't have $100,000, but it's real. And so I doubt that before you spend that $100,000, though, before you go out of this room, I want to make you another deal. My second offer is this. I'm going to give you each $1 million for the car that you drove here tonight. There's going to be some conditions. First, you have to give me back the $100,000 that I just gave you for your car. But that's not, you know, no-brainer. $100,000, a million. Second, you must wait 1 week to get the $1 million. Still, not too bad. Thirdly, you must leave your car right there in the parking lot, right where it is, right sitting right now. You can't move that car until next week. That's the third point. And fourth, you need to come back here next Sunday to get the $1 million. And I would imagine once again that there aren't too many of you that would turn that down. I suspect that everybody would be willing to exchange the car out there for $100,000, let alone for $1 million. And I don't believe that the conditions of leaving your car here, even if there was 3 feet of snow out there, I don't think that would stop you either to get $1 million. For that kind of money, I'd call a cab. In fact, I'd just walk home. 6 feet of snow, I don't care. Somehow, you'd get home, either by walking, calling somebody. And for a week, I think you'd get along without your car for a week to get $1 million. And as far as coming back next Sunday, that would be a no-brainer. All I got to do is show up next Sunday, I get $1 million. You know, for the sake of the illustration, we want to assume that every one of you has accepted this offer. Every one of you have agreed to take $1 million for your car. You leave your car here. You got to find your own way home tonight, and you got to be back here next Sunday. That's the deal. Well, let's analyze that just for a second. That first offer sounded pretty spectacular when you first heard it. $100,000 for my car. That's a pretty good offer until that second offer came around the corner. And we're talking 10 times the money. That's a lot of luster. That's a, you know, that kind of makes that first offer pale in comparison. And you obviously wouldn't want the $100,000 if you can get the million. And so it makes sense. You would want to do whatever you can see there is worth the most. And by accepting the second offer, you have to turn down the first offer. You can't have both. That's the way that game show worked. And remember, the first one, though, the 100,000 was, that's money in the hand, you know, bird in the hand. The second offer is for a week later, so it's a larger offer, but it's for a future gain, and that's the two birds in the bush. Trading back that offer to go back, sacrifice that time and energy in exchange for something much, much larger is what we would want to do. And with that in mind, we want to try to make application. We want to consider a real deal. And we want to look at something that every one of us will have to deal with in literally every day of our lives. So let's make a deal in real time. And the real deal is that the first one is, of course, it's a deal from Satan. Satan's going to offer you something. He's going to offer you immediate pleasure, immediate rewards. He's going to give you pretty much anything that you want. You know, the scripture tells us not to love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Satan's going to give you that. He's going to give you the lust of the eyes, no problem. He's going to give you the pride of life. He'll give you pretty much anything you want. He's offering you anything in this world. But remember that those offers aren't from God. They're not from the Father. They're from the world, from the devil. And in regard to the lust of the flesh, that's simple immorality. It's everywhere, right? Satan doesn't have to work too hard to get that to you. As far as the lust of the eyes, that's materialism. That's, I want, I see it, I want it. And in regard to the pride of life, it's self-gratification. Three things, bang, bang, bang. Satan's really ready to give that to you. What a deal. And when you think about his deal, in return, you don't have to do anything. You're going to get his deal, and you really don't. He doesn't require you to pretty much virtually do nothing. You don't have to do anything. No self-discipline on your part. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, get it. If it sounds good, go for it. And you think about what the Bible says about that. In Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 25. Remember Moses. He was offered a deal. Hebrews 11, 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin. The devil wants you to enjoy the passing pleasures. That's what he's offering you. While you got your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11, let's go ahead and read that. 11:23 through 29. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. And so the devil, he was working back then too. He wanted to make Moses a deal. All the riches, the exceeding riches of Egypt, this is all going to be yours, Moses. All you got to do is call yourself Pharaoh's son. Turn your back on the God of creation. And I give it all to you. You'll have the power. You'll have the riches. You'll have the personal glory from the people. And you'll have people under you. That's what the devil That's the deal the devil wanted to make with Moses. Which, by the way, just to reiterate, Moses didn't make the deal. He refused that deal. He didn't take it. And so there's another kind of deal. Only this deal is from God. And here's what God offers you. He's going to offer you a future. Future pleasures. Future rewards. You think of Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 15, Colossians 1:5, and because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, the future, which you heard before in the word of truth, the word of truth of the gospel, that's the future. It is amazing to even imagine what's laid up for us in heaven. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, or hands touched those things that are there awaiting us. We'll never truly understand till we get there. And when you do think about that, he offers an eternity of bliss. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Just the beginning there. Think about this. John writes, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." That's in heaven. That's what God's offering. "A clear as crystal proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse." There you go. "But the throne of God, the Lamb, shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light, nor sun. The Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever." Look at verse 4 of chapter 21. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." God is promising eternal bliss. That's part of his deal. And so we want to remember. And for exceeding pleasures and the rewards of life. Look at verse 21 again, verse 4. "All those tears get wiped away. No more sorrow, no pain, no crying, no death. All things have passed away." He's making all things new. This is part of God's deal. And you got to remember what Satan's offering. Remember what God's offering. He's offering pleasures that far exceed the rewards of this life. We mentioned it this morning, that it's a shame that we're going to go through this life and suffer. My back hurts. My wife is sick. Many of the members are sick right now. We have people with cancer. We have all kinds of suffering going on, not just physical, but emotional, financial. There's people suffering. But you know what? The people who are not members of the body are suffering too. God's offering you exceedingly great rewards. So why would you spend an entire life suffering, facing death for nothing, when you could suffer through life like everybody else does and gain the pleasures and rewards in heaven? Exceeding. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, secondly, God, he is a little bit different than Satan. God requires that we do something. He requires effort and sacrifice on our part. He requires that we are a part of the work. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Brother Randy brought that up this morning. "Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He wants us to be working all the time. He wants us to be studying. He wants us to be resisting temptation. If you remember James, right? James says, "Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wash your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what God wants. He wants, we have to do something to get the reward from God. He's not like the devil. And an enduring persecution. There are things that would go on in this life that we will have to deal with. We will have to suffer, but we are rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer because we know what's ahead. When we take God's offer, we already know what the conclusion is. And the Bible, of course, refers to this in Romans chapter 6 at verse 23, the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Right? This is what God's offering. So you got these two deals. So now we have a big question. Why do so many people accept the devil's deal? Why accept Satan's deal and not God's deal? Why would you do that? Listen, it's for the same reason that anybody would take $100,000 and refuse $1 million. I don't know if you caught that. It would be lame to take the first deal, the $100,000 for your car, when you can get $1 million for your car. And the same thing is true spiritually. It would not be sensible or reasonable to accept nothing over everything. But that's what happens. People fail to appreciate the difference in the value. Maybe I saw a show the other night where a man was a cab driver and a Japanese fella got in the car and he was trying to pay him a bunch of money. He was trying to give him like $500, $600, $700. And the man kept trying to explain to the Japanese fella that didn't speak English that it's, no, all I need is $5. He didn't get it. And it's kind of like that. We're not seeing there. There's a correlation of value that God is offering opposed to the devaluation that the devil offers. And there are people that choose to follow that path of the devil. The failure to appreciate what is truly, truly real and especially valuable in this life and in the life to come. The promises of Satan realize that they only last a lifetime. Let me say that again. The promises of the devil only last a lifetime. Okay? I don't have this. They only last a lifetime. James 4:14, your life is but a vapor. That lifetime's really short. But the devil, he's only offering you pleasures and riches and all the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride, all that. It only lasts a lifetime. Because when you die, it's gone. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and at verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 8. Paul writes, for bodily exercise profits little. That is relating to the things in this world. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The devil cannot make that promise. Whatever you get from him, whatever promises he makes, whatever direction he takes you is temporary. It's only in this life. You know, you think about Peter. When Peter tells Jesus, you know, see, Lord, we've all left and followed you. And Jesus told him, assuredly, I say to you, that whoever has left house, brothers, mothers, sisters, and fathers, and wife, children, and lands for my sake, and the gospels, they're going to have 100 times that. Not just here, but in the age to come, eternal life. The devil, he can only offer you what's here and now. So there's a deal to be made, and everybody makes the deal, and so let's make a deal. And as you're looking and thinking about, many people literally sell their souls to accept the deal from Satan, and they're picking door number two, and they don't even know what's behind it. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Moses understood the difference, and he made the right choice. We saw that in Hebrews 11 in verses 24 through 26, and we read that. He's the one that decided not to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, the temporary things in this world, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. He made the right deal. He understood his choice to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of heaven. And his reason for making that choice, for he looked, you see that at the end of verse 26, for he looked to the reward. He wasn't looking at this world. He wasn't looking at his pride. He wasn't looking at his own way. He wasn't looking at Egypt and all those treasures. He was looking toward the reward. And so he made the right deal. He evaluated both deals. He grew up in Egypt. He knew Pharaoh. He knew Pharaoh's daughter. He was counted worthy. But he looked at both deals and he thought, no, wait a minute. What's going to happen when I die? Where's all that going to go? All them riches. All that power. All the pleasures. So the last question tonight is, when we think about making this deal, is the question is, what deal have you made? Seriously, what deal have you made? And realize that the deals that we make aren't permanent until the day we die. Are we accepting the deal that Satan's making? We want to offer the path of least resistance, which, by the way, is that wide gate, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Are we looking for the passing pleasures of this life? If you are, basically you're just refusing God's deal. God's deal is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, walked among men, preached the gospel of the good news of salvation. He died on a cross for our sins. He was buried in the ground. 3 days later, he arose from the grave. And he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. And through his blood, we can have our sins washed away. And it's a pretty simple thing. The deal is, obey him. Obey that gospel. Believe, be baptized, have your sins washed away, be added to the church. Live the rest of your life in service of him. Pretty good deal. But you know what? You may even be a Christian. And I fear that there are many that aren't obeying the gospel, that aren't living as they should, who took the deal and somehow think they can get around all the commands, get around the requirements, and still get the prize. And we talked about that this morning. It's not going to happen. We can't be fair weather Christians. And when you think about it, who would gladly accept the second deal of the $1 million? That's what we should be. We should be them people. We should be looking at that second deal. No matter how hard it is to go that week, no matter how far I gotta walk to get home, no matter how deep the snow is, no matter how difficult it's gonna be on my back and how cold my feet are gonna get, I'm gonna go for that million. I'm gonna go for the right prize, the big prize, the sensible prize. And I'm gonna come back again next Sunday. I'll be here. Right? Unless the creek rises. The Indians. I'm gonna take that deal. And to do anything less would not be reasonable. When we realize there's only two choices, there's only two deals to make, and there would be nothing to keep me from being here. Yet, some people don't consider eternal life as valuable as it really is. They don't see it. And so they're not willing to make that effort. They're not willing to be there on time, in service, on Sunday, Wednesday nights, Sunday night. They allow little things to hinder them and get between them and the prize. You know, just imagine the first deal we made. I'm going to give you $1 million for your car. All you got to do is leave here tonight without it, come back next week, and you get $1 million. And on the way over here next week, a friend of yours calls you on the phone, and it is 9:10. Bible study is going to start in 10 minutes. And your friend's talking on the phone, and you're going, I really got to go. This is like $1 million here, people. I'm going to lose it. You're going to keep talking to your friend, you're just going to hang up. You're going to hang up. You're not going to let any little thing get between you and that $1 million, and yet we don't want to do that spiritually and let any little thing get between us and the prize. That deal that God made us. He who keeps my commandments loves me. He who loves me keeps my commandments, right? There are people who evidently place a higher value on the $1 million, literally, than even a gift of eternal life. And what I mean is materialism, idolatry, money, just plain laziness. And they sell their souls for the things that they can have, the tangible things that they can touch. It doesn't work. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be even named among you as fitting for the saints, neither fornication, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Don't let anybody deceive you with empty words. And so, really, that's the lesson. Just a simple thing. Let's make a deal. And you can call it whatever you want. You can call it making a deal. I did that just to get that parallel. Or you can just simply call it what it is, making a choice. Choose this day who you will follow. But remember that regardless of which direction you choose, whatever deal you make or whatever choice you make, it's eternal. One of them can give you peace and joy in this life. It can give you hope. Right? It can help you along when the things get really tough. When you can lean upon the everlasting arms of Jesus. When you can cast all your cares upon Him. When you can pray and you know that God hears your prayer. That's pretty exciting. And the good thing is, though, in that scenario, even after your body dies, that inward man is going to be renewed and one day be in eternity with God. And listen, my purpose for all this is not to belittle or cause guilt. That would be foolish. I'm just trying to bring up two parallel or two contrasts that seemingly parallel one another. The only difference is we want to remind ourselves that each day we're making choices. We may have made the choice to follow Jesus, but that choice didn't stop after we came out of the waters of baptism. That choice goes on every single day. We're carrying this cross daily until the Lord returns or until we pass from this life into the next. And we have opportunities every single day to make a choice. Am I going to read today the Bible? Am I going to study it? Am I going to set it aside? Am I going to carry it with me when I go to work? Am I going to talk to people about Jesus? Am I going to train up my children in the way in which they should go? Am I going to love my brethren? Am I going to esteem others greater than myself? Am I going to keep my eyes focused on Jesus? Am I going to use the wisdom from above? Choices. We have to choose. Am I going to follow a way that just is right? It causes no harm. And it gives us something even after this life. Or am I going to follow Satan? And maybe I'll enjoy this life. Maybe I'll live and be happier than the people around me. I'll be happier than those Christians over there. But it'll be short-lived. Because that deal ends the day your body dies. And I hope that illustrating it that way, to illustrate, you know, the folly in the immediate and in the temporary and the gratification, which is much, much greater, that comes with the future reward. You know, friends, brethren, let's make a deal. Let's make a choice. We want to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of the entire world. We want to choose to suffer the affliction of the as people of God, even if it means assembling a little more often, even if it means giving up a little bit of free time to make sure that we're with the saints, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin and selfishness. We want to keep looking to the reward. We want to look to the reward that God has prepared for those who love Him. Together, in that scenario, we can help each other. We can encourage one another. We can work with one another. We can build in the kingdom and establish it even more so and stronger in this area. We'll have our priorities directed by the Word of God, by the Creator of all things. We'll receive the best deal that anybody can possibly make. So I have one more point. You remember in that show, Let's Make a Deal, if you ever did watch it, one of the things you always heard at the end is, what do you want, door number one or door number two? Usually they had two people. One person picked one door, another person picked another door, and the other third door was left. So which door do you want? But you know what's really sad about that is that year after year after year, you watch that show and those people... This person had $100,000 in their hand, or $100,000, probably back then it was $500. And they were willing to go to door number two. They didn't even know what was back there. And a lot of people do that with their spiritual lives. They go through all their life and all they know is that I'm happy, I'm living the way I want to live, and I don't know what's behind that door at the end of my road, but that's the door I've chosen. Why not go to a door that you know is open? A door that you can see in. You can read about what's behind that door. And what's behind that door is eternal life. What's behind that door is the glory of God in heaven. What's behind that door is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more dying, no death. What's behind that door is an eternity with God and Jesus Christ the Son. What's behind that door is the light that comes from the throne of God and that river of the water of life that flows down through there and the tree of life that's on either side. What's on that door is joy for eternity. So you have a choice today. Make a deal. Pick a deal that has a door that's shut and you can't see what's back there. You give up all that you have in hopes that you're right, that it is the big deal of the day. Or listen to God and take the deal that you know for sure is the big deal of the day. Whatever you have need of tonight, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.